be as clay to the potter, may I be to thee. You may have to break down resistance at times, but Lord, don't stop molding and shaping my life. Shape me, dear Father, please make me like you. Mold me completely so I can be true. And if you have to break me, may I understand you're still loving and holding my life in your hands. It would be such disservice, results would be nil, if clay rejects potter and it seeks its own will. It could only be cast out to the old potter's field. Please don't cast me out, Master. Put me back on your wheel.
Martial arts, having fellowship with devils. Martial arts, having fellowship with devils. I'm telling you, this is going to be a good program. I have no doubt about that. We're going to learn some things that will be overwhelming to us. They really will be. And I hope you will just get your Bible and really become a part of this study today. Now, you know, the broadcast Open Bible Dialogue, now telecast all over the world. And may I say welcome to all of you anywhere, Australia, Ukraine, Russia, of course, South Africa, all many countries there, South America. Well, it's a joy to come and be your friend and be in your home and to talk with you by internet and by now camera, and to bring you things that make this Bible come alive. If there's a desire in my heart, it's to make this Bible come alive. Now, I've always known that martial arts was very questionable, but I've never dug into it like I've been digging into it. And I want to tell you, all you got to do is learn the real facts and you will be concerned. You will be concerned because it has become a big thing in churches, in schools, in police departments, in the army and the different divisions of our armed services. I mean, it's become almost the thing if you want to have this great capacity with your human body. Well, let me take you first on this broadcast today to the Bible. If there's anything most important, it's certainly what the Bible has to say. And it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise." And then in the sixth chapter, the same book, 1 Corinthians, "Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body." What? "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own?" Notice that you are not your own. You are not your own. "For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, that's the inner man, which are God's. Now, we're talking about a body that belongs to God, and then we're talking about martial arts, which everybody has to know came out of heathen religions, especially out of China. Now, understanding the background of this whole subject is quite overwhelming, and it should help you think. It should help you think. Let me cut down myself. I may be a little loud. I don't want to be. I want you to hear me, though, because this is extremely important. Now, in a few moments, a former Army man, service man, will call and give a testimonial. He lives in Raleigh. I have another testimonial of a lieutenant, police lieutenant in California that I'm going to give you. This is one of my gifts for today. And my other gift is an article written by myself on martial arts having fellowship with the devil, having fellowship with evil spirits, which are the devil's spirits. They belong to Satan. They do his bidding. I want you to know they do his bidding. Now, let me start by giving you something that I hope you'll remember and carry all the way through the program. There's only three sources of inner power now, for any man or woman. Three sources of inner power for any man or woman in the universe. That's anywhere in the world. Number one is human power, mental power, imagination, the power to memorize, the power to literally set the tone of how your attitude is going to be, how your reaction to things are going to be. You do have much power in this old flesh, this body, this temple of the Holy Ghost, please. And then number two, there are paranormal powers. Now, understand that paranormal powers belong to the realm of Satan. Paranormal powers belong to the realm of Satan. There is a barrage of evil spirits all serving the devil. They used to be angels, but they were cast out of heaven with the devil, and now they are in the midair. Satan is the god of this world, and his angels go about seeking whom they may devour, the Bible says. They go about seeking whom they may devour. And they can do paranormal things. I taught in the chapel in school yesterday about the temptations of Jesus. And the devil took Jesus on a high mountain and showed him the kingdoms of the earth. What paranormal power to take the Son of God. 40 days he'd been fasting and praying. He was coming out of the fast, had not eaten yet. And Satan is tempting him and takes him to a high mountain. He took him and set him on the pinnacle of the temple. Satan has some incredible paranormal powers. And then there's the supernatural power of God and his angels, the great kingdom of our Heavenly Father. Now, any power that you get inside, any power that works in your mind, works in you, has to be one of those three sources. The limited human power. Notice, that's very limited. You know what your mind's capable of. You know what your hands are capable of. You know what your muscles are capable of. And any power that goes beyond this natural power of your body is either God or it's Satan. Either God or Satan. And that's just so real. I don't think anybody would doubt that analysis is right on target. Right on target. So, any power you have has to come from within you. The human, natural, limited power, or the paranormal powers, which is somewhere between you and God. Paranormal, they can do mystical things, but they're never for your good in the final end. Never for your good in the final end. And then there's the power of God. Now, understanding that, let's go to martial arts. Martial arts. Arts. And let me try to say some things here. Number one, I'm not out here to hurt anybody or defend anybody. And there are some wonderful people who are involved in these things. Don't get me wrong. I'm not attacking nobody. I'm dealing with a philosophy. I'm dealing with religious activities. I'm dealing with things that are in being used and being dominant in human bodies. I'm dealing with the temple, your temple, the temple of the Holy Spirit in all of us. Every one of us, lost or saved, you still have a temple if you're lost. Now, it's dead in trespasses and sins, and there's no spiritual life in it. But when you're born again, he fills that temple with spiritual life. And there is nothing like that. I'm preaching in the morning on, do you know that you are lost? Do you know that you are lost? We have a world of people out there that you can't get them saved because they don't know they're lost. Well, I want to try my best to communicate to you that you've got to know you're lost if you're lost. Now, if you're saved, I want you to know that too. And believe me, when you have an experience with Jesus Christ and you're born again, you will know it. It will make a new person out of you. Everything in your life will change. You will be a new creature. But if you don't know that you're a new creature, then I've got to help you know that you're lost. And so I'm preaching that in the morning. 10:50 is when the morning service begins. And you're, of course, are welcome. Just absolutely welcome. I'm telling you, you are welcome. Tomorrow night, I'm preaching on why Jesus sent back the Holy Spirit. Why he sent back the Holy Ghost. Why he sent back the Comforter. Hope you'll be in either or both of those services. And they will be on the internet, on camera or audio, whichever you desire, as of Monday and Tuesday. Okay? We're here to bless you. Now, martial arts. Martial arts, it appears to me that most people, when they first get involved, are innocently seeking an exercise. Something to make them a little stronger. Something to give their body a little more continuity. Something to give them better health. I got up and rode my bicycle this morning about a mile. I'm 78. But buddy, did I enjoy riding my bicycle this morning. It is good exercise, and the weather is perfect for riding the bicycle. I was still sweating pretty much when I returned home. But I can tell you this, it was really enjoyable. And I'm planning to take another ride this afternoon. Well, I just believe in exercise. But I look at karate and the different aspects of the exercises of the martial arts. And they look out of kilter. Well, I'm learning that this police lieutenant says that all of the exercises of the martial arts come from ancient Indian exercises. And that's why all week I'm looking at them and I'm saying, man, that just don't look right. There's something contrary about that. There's something that don't look right about that. Well, I found out there is. I mean, even the exercises come from ancient heathenism and Indian religions and the religions of false religions where they've been introduced. And now almost every religious culture in the world has their own martial arts. And it's being fed into America. And most people are innocently falling into the middle of it. And I just hope I can help you understand what we're dealing with. But please understand now, the exercises that you see, we have a neighbor right down the street from us that does it in his yard. He teaches. And people come, and he has the blanket out there, and they're doing all these exercises. And I look, and I think to myself, why don't they just exercise like we used to? Push-ups and riding the bicycle and, you know, doing back exercises and sit-ups. And there's all kinds of very good exercises, and all of you ought to do a little of them. You really ought to. I do. I can still do about maybe 30 or 40 push-ups at 78. Because I've been a healthy man all my life, and I made up my mind this week, I'm back riding my bicycle, I'm back doing some push-ups, I'm back doing some sit-ups, I'm back doing some things to get this old body feeling better. Man, I'm telling you, when you've been a strong, muscular kind of guy, and you quit doing it, it don't feel good. It really doesn't. And I'm not against any of that, but I'm wanting you to understand, it needs to be pure, and I don't think that's pure. But now, what I'm learning is once you are doing the exercises, it isn't long until the exercises have to move into meditation. Well, you can't meditate if you don't meditate on something. I mean, you got to do something. And they tell me it's like clearing the mind, emptying the mind. Well, I can tell you that emptying your mind is about as dangerous as anything you ever done. I've had people in all kinds of religions say, if you'll just come and listen to what I'm saying and have an open mind. And I will say, open mind? No way. My mind is open to one thing, the Holy Bible. and all the things of Scripture. The Lord Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit, my Heavenly Father. Oh, how I love to meditate on my Heavenly Father. I love to quote the Bible and meditate on the Scripture. I love to just think of all the life of Christ that is mine and comes in, rushing into my being. And do I love praying until the Holy Spirit prays. Oh, I couldn't live without the anointing of the Holy Spirit. People ask me, can you go in the rapture without the baptism of the Holy Ghost? And I say, I wouldn't even go to the grocery store without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. One of my employees said to me yesterday, I wouldn't even go to the post office. She mails the mail for us. And sometimes she takes 5,000 pieces, and boy, can she meet with some strange conduct. And she says, I don't even want to go to the grocery store. I mean, to the mail post office without the Holy Spirit. Well, that ought to be true with all of our lives. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That's in Romans 8. Notice that again. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, I want to get ready to talk with a man by the name of Ed Branch. He'll be calling any moment now, and I presume he's on his way. And we're going to talk with him a minute. And then if I get a chance, I'm going to read a little bit of this lieutenant from California. He got saved, and he was a high-ranking black belt. High ranking, had more than just a black belt under his belt. He had more than that. And he learned all the exercises, and he names them all in this article I'm going to send you. But when he got saved, he immediately knew he had to change what he was doing. He had to change his direction. He had to go in a different direction. And I hope I can help you and convince you of the very same thing. I'm telling you, folks, when you begin to look at all of this, it is quite amazing. Do you know that the devil lusts to try to get a hold of people's lives? Are you aware of that? Let me read you something Jesus said. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, the unclean spirit walketh through dry places, seeking rest. And finding none, he saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Now, Jesus is telling this. This is an old unclean spirit that had come out of a man, and he can't find a rest. The evil spirits love to be in people. They can do little things outside of people, but they can do big stuff when they get somebody to use and to possess. And so they're always looking for somebody to possess. You understand? Looking for somebody to possess. And when they find them, and that's what it says, he enters in, and the last state of that man is worse than his original state. And that's Jesus talking. And by the way, if you want to know where that is, it's Luke 11, 24 through 26. Now, Brother Ed, he's one of my brothers, he's a minister now, is on the phone, and we're going to go to him. But just before I do, again, I'm telling you the two things I give you today. One is martial arts, having fellowship with the devil. And number two, the testimonial of a lieutenant, police lieutenant from California. From California? That made me perk up and listen, because I know that California is the, I guess you would say, the breeding ground for all kinds of things that are gripping America. So you'll love any of that. Let's go to these phone lines now and get this dear man on the phone, okay? Here we are. Are you there, Brother Ed? Are you there, Brother Ed? Oh, I'm sorry. I hit the wrong button, I think. Let's see here. Are you there? No, I'm right. Are you there, Brother Ed? Are you there, Brother Ed? I'm sorry, I had the wrong button. Are you there, Brother Ed?
I'm here.
Hey, man, how are you?
I'm doing well.
It is so good to have you help me. Did you listen to my introduction?
I listened to it, yes. I got most of it, I think. I was having a little trouble with the streaming with my computer here, but I think I got most of it.
Did you hear me say anything you could not support?
No, nothing. I support all that you said.
How about the idea that there are three inner powers that a man or woman can connect with? Three inner powers: themselves, their mind, their imagination, and, you know, just limited things that we can do physically. And we first can connect with that. Number two is paranormal. Everything beyond the human is paranormal. If a man can take his arm and burst a hunk of wood 2 or 3 inches thick, that means he has power beyond the natural. Where did he get that power?
Well, that's exactly right. He could not do that with his own natural power.
He has to connect with something.
Of course.
Yes. And you know, I remember when the power team came to Charlotte, and they were at one of our big Church of God's here, and they did these things. And of course, they got great applause and accolades and hoorahs, but that wasn't God. God wouldn't give you power to burst a 2-inch block of wood. You know, I mean, I believe they burst concrete blocks too, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
With their rare hands. Now, let me stop all of that, and you tell your story. I may stop you, but tell what happened, how you got involved, and how you knew to get out.
Okay, I will. I think you've covered a lot of the origin, that kind of thing. It originated in China back in the 1300s. We know that it moved from China to Japan, Okinawa particularly. And it became very popular after World War II because we had a lot of service stationed in Okinawa, and they became impressed with all.
You know, I had a brother that was at Okinawa. Go ahead now.
Yes, and when they came to America, they brought a lot of that with them. And over the years, especially, I would say in the recently, maybe 10, 15, 20 years, that has become rather popular among young people. Young families, you know, introducing their children to it and that kind of thing. As for me, it was the fundamentals that included the physical fitness aspect of it that interested me. I was in college with a friend, and we ended up working together. And he was out of shape. I wasn't particularly out of shape at that time. I was much younger. But he was, and he was looking at something to improve his stamina and his physical fitness. And so he taught me into enrolling in karate class, and so I did, and just very innocently, not realizing what I was getting into, because back then, that's been a few years ago, and the emphasis and the popularity of it wasn't quite extensive as it is today. But where it began with me was the physical conditioning training, and the first few lessons seemed to be only physical fitness, you know, endurance, developing stamina, and that kind of thing. And this is what my friend and I wanted, and we wanted that. But as I continued, certain meditation techniques were incorporated into.
And tell me, how long did it take before the meditation techniques became part of it?
Well, I think some of it might have been right at the very first, but I was so naive, I didn't realize that. But it was on into maybe 3 weeks or so when I began to understand and realize what they were pushing, what was the requirement, really, if you were going to move forward, you know.
In other words, if you're just going to do exercises, okay. But if you're going to move up toward any kind of martial arts expertise, you got to start meditating.
Well, that's right. Yeah, that's all part of it. That's included in all martial arts and their various types and degrees and yoga, transcendental meditation, you know, all of that includes meditating, clearing your mind, emptying yourself, you know, and that kind of thing. And so that was part of it. Now, it was not described as such, no doubt. And, you know, here I am. I was born again Christian. I was filled with the Holy Ghost and living for the Lord as a young man because I'd gotten saved early in life and my dad was in the ministry and I helped. So I innocently participated in this for several weeks, but you can't really separate the physical from the spiritual aspect
yes.
of martial art. Doesn't matter what you're talking about, and to some degree, you know, I think to some degree people say you can, and that is one of the discussion points for Christians is to say yes, you can participate in it if you separate the physical component from the spiritual aspect of it. But to become proficient in that and to move on, because if you don't, you're going to get hurt. You cannot just, be a casual participant.
If you are participating and you're doing, you got to do these exercises one with another, and if the other person moves on and becomes proficient, you don't, then he's just going to beat the socks off of you. Is that right?
Yes, and you become very intimidated and all of that, And so then that's what pushes you into trying to achieve and to move forward. But you cannot, I can say unequivocally, you cannot move forward in that unless you enter into the spiritual aspect.
I'm getting a lot of calls and emails, so I've got to move on here. Can you tell me how you immediately felt when you start doing meditation?
Well, I felt almost a old clammy kind of feeling. It was almost a state of fear, and I didn't quite understand it at first. But then, the Spirit dealt with my heart about it. And so as time continued on and I saw that it was progressing deeper and deeper, I almost became afraid. And so I backed out because I didn't know. I mean, I was convicted. The Spirit convicted me. I just dropped. I just said, this is not for me. And I really at that time probably didn't understand as much about it as I even do today, even though I'm not an expert on all this. I just know my own personal experience. But I knew that I had to flee from that.
Have you met many people who had the same experience as you and got out of it?
The friend of mine, he continued on for a while, but he never became real proficient in it, and I think he became discouraged and dropped out. It wasn't for the same reasons that I did.
Have you known some people who dropped out for the same reason you did?
Well, I've known some who've questioned it. There were some young people in our church years ago who got involved in it. I had warned them.
So the church was doing a class in the building?
Well, not well. It was somebody from the church that was teaching it.
Okay.
Built in the church that had these boys, off to another location. At that time, they were not in the church. Now today, they'd probably just move right into the church and not about it, which is sad. What's taking place? But they would question me about certain things and about especially the meditation technique, how they would turn the lights out and they would line the floor looking up and things. And I warned them. Now, some of them got out of it, and today I've kind of lost contact with them, so I don't know. But I can tell you it's not compatible with Christianity.
Well, when you meditate, you've got to meditate on something. And if you're going to meditate to get power from it, it's got to have something to do with something bigger than you.
Oh, that's right.
And it can't be God, because he certainly don't involve himself in that kind of foolishness. So it has to be demons. So you literally become possessed, do you not?
Yes, I think so. And especially if you reach those higher levels, I believe that.
Well, tell me something. You took a look at how to become a black belt. Tell us that, and I'll move on here in just a moment.
Okay, it takes a good while. Sometimes it takes 4 or 5 years to reach that level. Now, some of these local in-the-mall type places, they may try to encourage people to achieve that at an earlier stage. But if you're really into it with the real experts, it takes about 4 or 5 years to reach to that place, because you have to go through a lot of competition,
and you almost have to live it above everything else, don't you?
Well, you do. Oh, you some of the people will tell you you have to forsake your friends and everything else and just spend your time on that. Now, there's people that would criticize that, I know, but that is a fact for those who become, there's actually about 8 degrees of black belt.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, once you get into the black belt, you see, that's just the beginning.
And now that black belt has got to be meditation and powers from somewhere.
Oh, yes, that it does. In fact, I can tell you that the black belt, or some refer to it as ash, that black signifies the darkness beyond the sun. I mean, each one of the colors, see, as you continue up from white to yellow, they're different colors in belt. And each one of those colors represents something. And when you look at what they represent, there's no denying that it comes out of the Eastern religion. There's no denying it.
So there are meanings to each of the belts.
That's exactly right.
Well, wow. See, there's much I got to learn. And I know for some weeks now we're going to be talking about this. Well, before you go, what would you advise somebody in the middle of it?
I would tell them to get out. I'd flee from it. I would tell them to get out of it. There's no way that they can continue on. Pastor Chambers, there are some other good physical fitness things people can do. You see, the underlying thing about karate and martial arts is self-discipline and that kind of thing. But also, the bottom line is there's that warrior instinct there. Now, people tell you, no, it teaches us to be humble and meek. Well, to a point, they try to incorporate that. But the bottom line is that it's that warrior instinct because karate means empty hand. That's what it means in Japanese. And so you come with an empty hand. There's no weapon. You have no weapon in your hand. So you become the weapon. And you cannot do that with just natural power.
Well, I've been reading where some people can control other people without even touching them.
Yeah, all that's probably part of it.
And it's all a strange power that humans were never intended to have.
No, if you trace it back and look at some of the terminology that's used, the teacher or the master, the one who is the teacher there, the black belt, the grand master, they call him, in Japanese, it's sensei. He's the sensei, and that means the teacher. But that also is derived from the word priest. And so when you go back to the Buddhist temples, Shinto religion and all of that, some of the gojos, the G-O-J-O, that's where you actually do your practicing, called the gojo. Gojo.
Say that word again.
It's G-O-J-O.
Okay.
Now it's gojo. And that's where, that is the practicing facility. And that goes back, if you look at history, go back, that was adjacent to the temple worship. And the senseis were, it's a name that was the teacher, as like the priest of the temple, and these young men would come and they would train in these arts.
Do you have to bow to them, to the teacher?
Oh, yes. There's a certain place that you have to enter, that, whether it's a gymnasium or whether it's some storefront property or whatever. But if you're really into it like it's supposed to be, you enter a certain corner of that mat or that training area. That place is called the gojo. And the reason for that is that the master is on the other side. And so when you come into that ring or that place of training, you bow to that grand master.
Now, do you do that in the early stages?
Well, yeah, they start teaching you that. You don't understand what that's all about initially. They'd say this is out of respect. In other words, it's all about humility, respect, self-control. And so people look at it and say, what can you say is wrong about that? I mean, that seems like a good thing. Isn't that the way the devil operates?
Wow. Yeah, I know. Well, that's all amazing to me. Thank you, Ed. We may have to do another week of this, okay? And I'll be in touch with you. But keep listening, will you?
All right.
God bless you, and thank you for helping me today. You know, that's amazing. Did you hear all that he said? This man, I could tell you all about him. He served high levels. He's been very big in the Reserve Department of North Carolina under the governor. This man is a well-educated, well-trained, very extremely capable individual. He's not just somebody putting something down. And he's never done something like this before in his life, coming on and being willing to tell about it. But I invited him, and he was willing and ready. Let me see here. I know that there's a lot of people maybe trying to get in touch with me. And if you are, now let me give you the phone number. I want to hear from you. 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. Listen to that. Now, 1-800-338-7884. The local number is 704-391-0588. Local number. And I want a ton of phone calls and emails. I can't get to all of them probably, but I'll try, because I want us to really get to the heart of this, and I want you to learn how dangerous it is, and I want you to make up your mind to live only for Christ. Only for Christ. And I'll tell you again, I'm not trying to put anybody down. I'm not your enemy because you're big in martial arts or maybe just in the beginning stages. I'm not your enemy. I'm your friend. And I'm not here to cut you down or to try to belittle you. Not in the least. I'm here to just talk about what's happening in America, the one world religion coming like a storm, the one world government. Everything the Antichrist is doing to bring all of this to pass. Is martial arts connected to evil ISIS-style beheadings? No, I don't think so. I know of nothing that would suggest that, okay? We're not trying to add something to it that's not there. We're trying to simply look at the facts. 20:4, let me read that. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. Well, Lord, that's happening. That's really coming. Hey, I hadn't noticed that. Do you understand that? That's in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, verse 4. I'm going back there. Look at what. How about in Oklahoma 2 days ago? Beheaded. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast. I'm telling you, that kind of thing is really coming. Can you believe how the whole Muslim world has gone insane with the stuff they're involved in? Let's go here and see what we can find. Questions? All right, here we have one. 1 Corinthians 8, concerning eating meat offered to idols. The Bible says, all as concerning therefore the eating of those that are offered unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. So concerning idols, there is no reason not to eat the meat. The only reason Paul gives them not to eat the meat is because you offend or cause someone else to stumble. Well, that really doesn't connect to this at all. This is a whole different world. Eating meat is a simple thing and a natural thing, and martial arts is an unsimple thing and an unnatural thing. So there's really no connection. Grab your phone, 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. 704-391-0588. Let's have some phone calls and let's get in the middle of this. Now, you can hear from all of these things that Mr. Bryant said that there really is some very questionable things. And the fact that a young man who knows nothing about right or wrong of it simply gets conviction in his heart, hey, I'm not to meditate like this and turn empty my mind. And he knew that's a very dangerous activity. Now, that's also happening in religions today. Really is. And so don't ever empty your mind for nobody. And don't ever turn your mind over to meditate on a person or even on something you think you are deep inside. There's some idea here that you have these great powers within. If you meditate, you can bring them out and surface them. Do you understand? That's pantheism. That's pantheism. That's a name for everything being part of God. And so the worship of self becomes a part of that action and goes together with it. Now, anything I said that you question, I want to hear your question. Anything that it said and you want to question, you feel free. He'll be listening. And if he hears something you question and I can't answer, he'll call back and answer. Please do that, Ed, if you hear them question something. Now, lines open, 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. 704-391-0588. Now, let's talk about this whole business of a world in which fellowship with demons and devils has become such a big thing. Do you understand? Do you understand that we live in a world where the Antichrist has invaded every sphere of our world, every sphere of our world? You can't put your kids in a public school now and not know that they're going to be taught that same-sex marriage is fine, that there's no difference in a heterosexual and a homosexual, that one is as right as the other, that people are born homosexuals, are born lesbians, are born straights, and they're going to be taught all kinds of things. They're going to be taught it's nothing wrong in killing an unborn baby. It's nothing but a fetus. It's just a piece of glob in there until that baby is born. Well, we know better than that. But the whole world is going crazy over all kinds of worship and fellowship with devils. It really is. Now, I don't dare want you to fail to question Brother Chambers today. I'm your friend. If you're big in karate, I'm your friend. If you are a black belt, call me and tell me about it. And let's talk about your experiences. Talk about what you experience. I'd love to have a karate person or a black belt person, anybody in martial arts, who would kind of share what you experience. Share. Let me question you in your meditations. What happens? What occurs? How do you get this power to do these incredible feats? Someone was telling me yesterday of a very dear friend of theirs. He's a pastor now. He was wonderfully converted and left all of this. But he could literally lay down and let a truck run over his body, his chest. and not be hurt at all. I mean, just lay there and will himself strong enough to endure. And see, that's part, I presume, of this whole thing, is willing yourself into this state of mind in which you can accomplish these incredible feats. But do you understand that there's no way biblically that you have some power within you to master something in a paranormal fashion? Something has to help you with that. Some spirit has to come to your rescue and come to help you and to enable you. So grab your phone, will you? I want to hear from you. I want to make sure you are listening and that you are part of this and that all of us are on the same page, okay? And that you understand what I'm saying. And it is my prayer that we will know when we finish some things about this whole idea. And if you stay in it, I'm not going to be your enemy. If you stay in it, come on to visit our church and hear me preach the gospel. And if you're not saved, I pray the gospel will help you understand you need to be born again. You need to be a new creature. I'm excited about preaching Sunday morning on, do you know that you are lost? There's so many of you listening to me right now. Do you know that you are lost? Now grab your phone, 1-800-338-7884. 704-391-0588. I want your calls. So I want you to order this material. Every one of you out there ought to have the article on martial arts having fellowship with devils. Just read it. You may reject it and throw it in the trash can, but I challenge you to get a copy and read it. I'm going to be your friend either way. I'm not going to be your enemy. You're not going to get me to treat you unkind. I'm not going to talk ugly to you. I'm not going to cut you down. I'm just going to tell you, I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have no other desire but bring you things that you can think, that you can meditate, that you can pray from the Bible, on the scripture, from Jesus Christ, on the things of God. And let God help guide you, and let God help teach you, and somehow be a blessing to you. Now, these two articles, I'm really, the one from the lieutenant, police lieutenant in California. He had 25 years of law enforcement experience in the state of California, certified to instruct police officers in their defensive tactics. I'm kind of quoting from his quotes rather than trying to read it word for word. He instructed police officers in the use of force and defensive tactics. And he holds a second degree black belt in a particular art of this world. He's a past practitioner, and he names a number of things like the Filipino knife fighting, the Brazilian I don't know how to say those words. And he talks about all of this. And he's been in contact with people all over the world questioning him and trying to help them. So he's involved in writing now and trying to help people understand the real facts and the real things there are behind all of the martial arts. Now, maybe I'm on a field that you've never talked about. Maybe that's why you haven't called to ask a question. Or maybe you bothered at me, you're angry, because I would dare get on the internet and the radio and question this that you love so dearly. Well, if you love it and you're honest about your love for it, let's talk about it. I don't know anything I'm involved in that I can't talk about. I'm not ashamed of nothing I do. There are times I have to get on my knees and repent, not because I fornicated or something ugly and bad, but because we all have an inner Adam nature that may be in a cage, sanctified by the blood, but he tries to get out. And you have to stay before God, humble yourself, and be I live a life of repentance, to be real honest with you. Not repentance from some dirty deed I did, just repentance for the cause of the fact I have a body that must be kept under control. I have a life in Christ that must rule me and rule all my thinking. I love the words of Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 9:27. He said, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul, Apostle Paul, could be a castaway. Yes, he knew he could. That's why he kept under his body. And that's what I do. And that's what I want you to do. And that's what this program is all about, is keeping your life sanctified, keeping it set apart, walking in the things of God and Christ. Now, lines it open. Internet's open. The ladies are standing by to take your orders. I want everybody listening. I would love to send 100 or so of these articles and get them everywhere and every place I possibly can and be a blessing to you. Okay? So grab phones and grab your mouse and let me hear from you. You are special to this preacher. I want you to know that. You are special to Reverend Chambers, and you are on the air. May I help you, please?
Reverend Chambers?
Yes.
This is Brother Ed from over in Cramerton.
Hey, my brother.
I have found out during all my ministry that every child or every person that ever started in this thing, boxing or anything, or wrestling or martial arts or anything, that they have ended up full of pride that God cannot stand.
So it makes them prideful.
Pride. Earthly pride, God cannot stand it.
Well, you're right, and I'm sure if you became a black belt, you would be one proud character of what you've accomplished. And, of course, everybody coming in when you're training people and bowing before you, that is unbiblical, of course, ever to bow before another man in that fashion. We should be humble before everybody, and we should never feel ourselves haughty and of great value. You know, I just believe you got to walk before God in deep humility. And, you know, humility is a thing that is so fragile. Humility is so fragile. The moment you think you got it, you just lost it, because you cannot be a proud person. Thank you, brother.
Yes, thank you, Brother Chambers.
Hey, did you order these two pieces of material?
I've already got it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir, and God bless you. Now, grab your phones, people. Everybody out there, I want to hear from you. I really do. You are important to me. I want to hear from you. I want your phone calls and your emails. And I want to educate you, and we will probably come back to this along as we move through the stages. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Thank the Lord for a preacher that talks about things that are relevant. Our world is full of people going to church. They have no earthly idea. They've got tattoos all over their bodies. They're being cremated. They're okay with same-sex marriage. And thank the Lord for a man of God that's telling people what really is going on out there.
You know, and I am doing it with none but love. I'm not being critical of nobody. There are some wonderful people, probably. I'm not one involved in that world, so I don't know a bunch of people. But there's got to be some wonderful people who are involved in this. And they're good, decent people. But so many people, it appears, really get taken by it. And then they start, I know a man, and he was dear to me. He got involved, and I warned him. And it literally did great damage. And I won't go into the damage. I won't go any further, because this person is still dear to me. And he may even be listening. And I wouldn't dare offend him and hurt him.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. Because I heard this week David Gibbs of the Christian Law Association was talking about statistics where conservative preachers, only 10% of them talk about things going on outside the church. And they're allowing their people to be ignorant. And
did you say only 10% of the preachers talk about anything beyond the local congregation?
He used the word conservative preachers. Of course, the liberal preacher ain't going to talk about anything anyway. But that is.
And who was this that did that?
Sir?
Who did that talk about that?
It was David Gibbs of the the Christian Law Association.
Yes, that sounds just like them to say things like that. Every preacher ought to be involved in what's going on in his community, what's going on in his city, and what's going on in his world.
Yeah.
And see, I love people. I love people, and I would love today for a black belt to come to church in the morning and say, Brother Chambers, I've been involved in this. I've been meditating. It's messed up my life. Will you cast this devil out? And I would lay my hands on that person once he repented, and once he truly turned to Christ, I would lay my hands on him, and that devil would be gone.
It's really interesting the way the devil is working in this world right now, and most people are absolutely oblivious to it.
They really are. Well, God's going to give us miracles, brother. I'm looking for revival.
Praise the Lord.
God bless you. Grab your phone now, folks out there, and call quickly. Grab your phone, will you, and call 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. Email me, jrc@paulcreek.org. And hello, my friend. You on the air.
Hey, Brother Chambers. This is Gary from Forney, Texas.
Hey, good to have you from Texas.
Hey, I just wanted to, I appreciate you being so strong on the pre-trib rapture teaching, and you know, so many are seem like they're getting away from that today. You know, preaching mid-trib, or there's even a pre-rapture that you probably know about.
They're looking for anything but pre-trib.
Exactly, exactly. And you know, Irvin Baxter teaching a
rapture. Oh, Irvin Baxter is bad news, brother. He is bad news.
Dr. Michael Brown teaches a rapture at the end.
When does Michael Brown teach it?
He preaches a post-trib rapture.
Does he? Michael is in my community. He's here in the city. Well, connected, I think, maybe Concord, which is 20 miles down the road. And so I did not know, though, that he had gone to post-trib.
Yes, he pretty much is that position. And I just appreciate men like you, you know, those that have gone on, like Dave Hunt and, you know, Brother Clint Benn and all those that stood true to that. And I believe it is the truth. I've looked at all these other views, and I still believe in the pre-trib rapture. Nothing is going to, you know, take me off of that position, no matter, you know, how they try to prove their point.
You better not let nothing take you off that position, buddy. You my friend.
That's right. I'm ready to go out with the first load, like you were talking about. I'm not waiting to be around here. What the church needs to do, they've got to get back to the cross, you know, Christ and Him crucified.
You're right.
And, you know, deny themselves, be ready. I mean, people that, you know, are against those that believe in the pre-trib rapture saying, oh, we're just being lazy and, you know, just wanting an escapism. But that's not true.
No,
I mean,
it
while
is.
We're watching and praying at the same time, Jesus says, occupy.
Occupy till I come. I got to go. I love you.
All right, brother.
You're my friend. Very much. Call quickly now, 1-800-338-7884. You better get your question in and get your order in. These ladies are standing by. And this, you know, when you take a subject like this, I never have done it before. I don't think, if I don't remember it, if I did. This is my 42nd year of open Bible dialogue. I'm here to tell you, it's a joy to bring you truth, to just lay it on the line, and to do it with love. Nothing but compassion. You are my friend. If you're the biggest karate person in America, you're still my friend, and I care about you, and I just want you to go to heaven. I just want you to be involved in things that will be great for your life. Now, grab your phone. We got four lines. Grab your phone and call and order this material. You must get this material, Martial Arts Having Fellowship with the Devil. You will love this article. You will love this article. And then, of course, the testimonial of the lieutenant, police lieutenant from California. That will be a blessing to you. And you can get copies of this broadcast, of course. We'll be on the internet. You can tell your friends about it. Be archived in about 20 minutes and be available anywhere in the world 24/7 for weeks and months to come. We're just trying to get the news out there. Now, let me go to the internet while you're calling. Grab your phone right now. Every one of you order this material. The ladies want to take your name and your address if we don't have it and send you these two articles. So grab your phone. Will you do it right now? 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. And I'm going to go to some calls here. Is the he in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 referring to the church? Just as the church is referred to in the man-child in Revelation 12. All right, 2 Thessalonians 2. I will have to go to look at that. Let me do it real quickly. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 2. That you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled neither by spirit nor by word, neither by letter, as for that us, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Now I'm looking for the he in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let no man, and it goes on, for the mystery of it. That's the Antichrist, not he, the church. He that withholdeth is the Holy Spirit. I'm sorry. You're probably talking about verse 6. And now you know what withholdeth, that he be revealed in his time, the Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ. The withholder is the Holy Spirit. The he that will be revealed is Jesus Christ. The he that will be revealed is Jesus Christ. Oh, what a good question. I like that. Let's go to another here. What do you think about any campus crusade for Christ demonstrating doing karate to witness for Christ? I think that is a double, confused, out of concept witness. How can you take karate and use it as a tool to witness? It has nothing to do with the Bible. It has nothing to do with witnessing. If you've got to have karate to get their attention before you witness, then you probably don't have the Holy Spirit. If you've got the anointing of the Holy Ghost and that don't get their attention, then move on to somebody else, because a lot of people are going to reject it. I've seen these and thought they were sincere and Christ-focused. I believe you're probably right that they're sincere, and I believe that many of them do have some degree of focus on Christ. I don't question that. As I said at the beginning, I'm not against people. I'm not against people who are karate experts and black belts and whatever. I'm their friend. I'm trying to show you that Christ does not want us to meditate and get in contact with spirits. And if you're going to have these powers to do these things, like break things that you normally can't break, then it came from somewhere, and it certainly didn't come from God. And there's only three of powers. Do you understand that? Please listen to me now, everybody. Please call her, email friend. Listen to me. There's only three powers. Go to the Bible, you'll find that out. Human power, that's very limited. You cannot do things that are beyond your muscle strength. If you do anything beyond your muscle strength, some spirit has got to help you do it. And that's the failure and the wrong of karate. If you are indeed doing things that are beyond your physical strength, busting things that you'd break every bone in your hand. I watched a little bit of a program that was showing the failures of black belt people. And it was showing people that was trying to brush things, and they were holding their hand. And I just couldn't help but die laughing. And even though it wasn't funny, it wasn't funny at all. It was just humorous how they couldn't do what they were supposed to be doing. They didn't have the right demon, I presume. I think that would be the reason. Well, let's go to another. 1 Corinthians 8 concerning, well, I've already done that one. Do we have another one here? Billy Joe. All right, Billy Joe. Thanks for what you're doing, and God bless you. Barbara is watching. Please pray a prayer for her. It will mean so much. Thank you, Billy Joe. I'm going to pray for you. Father, I pray for this dear lady, but not just this lady. Everybody listening to me across this globe, if you need a miracle of healing, Father, I believe you to manifest your virtue and make them well. I bind that affliction. Father, the real power that man can have is by the Holy Spirit, by that anointing from God. And I claim that anointing, that power right now to give a miracle to my friends, a mighty miracle right now to my friends, by the power of the Holy Spirit and the anointing that comes from God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory. I love the Lord. I love him so much. I'm looking for a Holy Ghost revival. Man, I want to preach to you in the morning. Do you know that you're lost? There are many out there who think you're saved, but you have no real proof, and you have no real certainty, and you have moments when you're so doubtful of it. That's a good sign that you're not saved, because when you get good and saved, you'll never doubt it. I promise you that. So if you're having doubts, that probably means, now I'm not being total here, I'm leaving and allowing for some exception, you're probably not, and you need to be saved. But I want to tell you, I know that you can know that you can know that you know. I do know that. I mean, I know what it means to be truly saved. 62 years, and wow, I've seen so many. Phones, open the lines. We've got time for your call, 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. Please understand, the Bible makes it very plain. God does not want us doing anything that puts us into a state of having fellowship with devils. Do you understand that? God does not want us. God does not want us. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Listen to that. To the dear man who just asked me about the campus crusade for Christ using karate as a door of witnessing. Listen, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? See, I think when you would try to use karate to witness, that you're provoking the Lord to jealousy. I think that scripture makes it clear. That's powerful. That's powerful. Hey, I love you. I love every one of you. Listen to me all across the fruited plains and all around this globe. This preacher has a burden for your salvation. This preacher cares about your temple being the temple of the Holy Ghost. And you must not defile it with any questionable, any conduct that's marked by foreign spirits and foreign gods and foreign activities. Look at it. Turn it on the internet and watch them in their actions and tell me if that looks Christian, if that looks like something God would be doing. Remember, all the exercises actually go back, according to witnesses I'm reading and hearing from, to ancient Indian exercises, pagan Indians that knew nothing of the God of the Bible. Hey, we're Christians. We belong to God. Our life should be lived by this Bible and nothing less. We don't need nothing less. We don't need nothing else, I should say. This is blessed and this is wonderful. And the ladies are standing by. Grab your phones. They want you to have this material. It's been a good program. Hey, I think we've really made some marks. I expect there'll be a lot of interest from our reading audience. We now have something like almost 40,000 emails that this goes to. Almost 40,000 emails that this will go to today. And I pray that everywhere it goes, all around this globe, we can somehow bless people. Now, we have a telephone number at our place where you can have prayer 24/7. You can call in the middle of the night. Call 704-391-0588. As soon as you hear the opening remarks, you press 1. And you'll go straight to a very special line where I place prayers. And I pray in the power of the Holy Ghost for you. And you can have an answer in the middle of the night. And then if you don't get satisfied, you can leave your phone number. And I'll call you the next day because we care. And you can go to the internet now all over the world, anywhere on the face of the globe. If you've got an internet with video connection, you can go and watch our sermons as well as hear our sermons. Anywhere in the world, 24/7. Just go to the front page. You'll see a preacher over there on the right standing in a pulpit. Happens to be me. You press there. There's a little arrow. You'll go straight to the page of sermons, and you can pick the one you want to listen to. My Sunday morning sermon will be up sometime Monday. Our Sunday night sermon, Lord willing, be up sometime Tuesday. We care about you. 1-800-338-7884. 704-391-0588. You're my friend. I really do love you. I really do. You are so special to me. Get that arrow at the right place, Reverend. You're so special to me. I can hardly tell you just how special you are. Call. We're here to help you.